Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the second chapter of St. John, the gospel text, which has already been read. Did you hear about the wedding reception where they didn't have any beer? I have. I was there, up in Rockford. The bride and groom didn't want alcohol at their wedding reception, so they didn't have it. And you know what people did? They walked across the hallway to the bar, and they got beer. What can we learn from that? What can we learn? I think we can learn that for some people, beer is as essential to the reception as the exchange of vows are to the wedding ceremony. Weddings, they've been around for a long time. It's part of the natural order of things. God told Adam to be fruitful, Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. He told them that, but he didn't have to. Didn't have to. The marriage ceremony differs with time and place. These days, you can get married by a judge, by a captain, by the pastor. And a lot of people get ordained by mail so they can do just that. Often there's a religious component to marriage and weddings, like around here. In the time of Jesus, it all began with the betrothal, which was like the engagement, except that it was permanent. It was very unusual that Joseph was even thinking about breaking it off with Mary. That was before the angel came. Who else would Joseph have listened to and told Joseph what's up? When it was time for the marriage ceremony, like in the parable, the word went out and they had their traditions, the wedding, then the reception. You know the drill. The wedding ceremony, then the banquet or the reception. And look, Jesus was invited. And he showed up with his plus 12. Maybe everybody was invited to the reception like often happens around here. So do you think it's possible that Buzzy would ever run out of beer at the reception? If he did, what would happen then? When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Mary seems to think that wine is an essential component of the wedding banquet of that time and place, and it was. And it was. If you look through the wedding ceremony and the reception and the things that go on, they're kind of like a toast, only there was a religious component. A lot of times, during this ceremony and reception, a glass of wine and saying things, you couldn't really go on with that. I have observed that in my lifetime, the drinking of beer, wine, and liquor has become more common and much more accepted and socially acceptable, and even in the church. Had Winkle on Tuesday, that's the circuit pastors' meetings. One of the churches in the circuit, it has come up in that church if we should remove the ban on alcohol at church. Most churches don't allow alcohol. I think we probably don't, except in the sacrament. And what used to be a no-brainer, all it takes is one person, is now, I think, open to discussion, at least at one church. Many churches teach that any drinking of alcohol is to be avoided, and maybe it's a sin. We don't teach that. We don't teach that. And if we take Martin Luther as our starting point, but why don't we go ahead and start with Jesus, who, as you know, ended up with the wine by dealing with the wine shortage at Cana by making some more wine. No doubt he drank wine at this and other weddings, at festivals, certainly at Passover, but he didn't get drunk. He didn't get drunk. He was accused by his enemies of being a glutton and a drunkard. And not that they just couldn't make things up, they did. I know teetotalers and they're all pretty much immune to the charge of being a drunkard. And if Jesus would have wanted to condemn the use of wine, this wedding would have been the time and place. They have no wine? Good. They can't drink what they can't have. But he didn't say that. What he does say is, "O woman, what have you to do with me?" I never once addressed my mother as, "O woman." For us, that would be kind of disrespectful. But in that time and place, it was the appropriate way for Jesus to address his mother. And he does that several times, including at the cross. Right before he tells John to take care of his mom, he says, "Woman." And here he says, "Woman, my hour has not yet come. What's this between you and me?" Since the time of Jesus, the Christians have not, quite frankly, talked much about things like wine, ale, grog, beer, mead, or distilled alcohol. It's a discussion that's a recent invention popularized by the temperance movement and prohibition. Then we started talking about it. They drank wine with their meals. You've heard that 100 times. Because they had bad water. Because of the bad water. So the wine was to kill the germs. You've heard that. And the implication is that we don't have to do that anymore. Because we don't have to. Because our water's good. We don't have to drink wine like they had to drink wine. But you know, there's have always been wells. People have known about wells for a long time. It's where you get good water. They knew about wells, and they knew about boiling water. So go ahead and drink at the wedding reception and other joyous occasions. That's what people do, but don't get drunk. For the Germans, it was and still is, like everybody else. Martin Luther drank beer. He talks about it all the time. He liked beer. Katie made and sold it. And nobody thought twice about it because he didn't get drunk. Claudia, her name was, from Germany. Our children's German tutor back in Kansas noted that Americans get drunk a lot more than Germans do. I don't know. I don't know about that. Then along came the first of the Reformed who banned fun things like dancing and playing cards and the like. And drinking about and drinking alcohol. They banned that. But what about the germs in the water? And some Lutherans thought that banning fun things was a good idea. I know pastors used to talk about banning TV. We call them pietists. I don't talk about banning TV. And they have thoroughly rained these pietists on the Lutheran parade. I don't think anybody in my father's family drank. And they probably frowned on those who did. Geneva, Switzerland, where John Calvin banned all those fun things, not long after he was gone and they unbanned things, Geneva was said to be the most sinful city in all of Europe. Berlin was one of the places where pietism flourished in the 19th century. In his book, In the Garden of the Beast, Eric Larson calls 1930s Berlin the most atheist city in Europe. And the Saxons brought some of that pietism over here with them, and we're working it out. I think Mary knew that Jesus was able to do what he does. The alternative to her approaching him about the wine problem is that she wanted him to make a wine run. She didn't. He knows what she's asking him to do, and that's why he says the timing is off. Then, like a mother will do, she sort of presses the issue, saying to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." And he tells them to fill those 6 pots with water. Did you know that people are now making synthetic wine? I just found that out. I use synthetic oil in my car. It's better than the oil that comes out of the ground. Synthetic wine? For one thing, they say the chemistry is fairly complicated and the jury is still out on the finished product. Or you can take fruit, add yeast and sugar to water, and wait for it to ferment, a kind of controlled decay. You know how long wine's been around? Noah was the first recorded case of drunkenness. Don't do that. The flood, which Noah was in, was a game changer for the earth, including things began decaying more rapidly. That's how long wine has been around. And what fruit can you use to make wine? You can use raisins, bananas, peaches, dandelions, elderberries, apples, pumpkins, kiwi, raspberry, blueberry, blackberry, pineapples, oranges, plums, pomegranates, grapes, and maybe, have you ever heard of Boone's Farm Strawberry Hill from strawberries? A lot of people have heard of Boone's Farm. All you need is a plant, the earth, sunlight, water, and a little bit of fruit. Later on, you know, Jesus would institute the sacrament of the altar, taking the Passover cup of grape wine and telling us to drink that wine. And it was wine, for that wine is his very blood. Cyril of Jerusalem ties the sacrament into the wedding at Cana and says, Jesus once changed water into wine by a word of command at Cana of Galilee. Should we not believe him when he changes wine into his blood? And then he takes the bread and tells us to eat the bread, for that bread is his very body. Where can we get some bread? Well, you take some grain or something else, grind it, add leaven or yeast, water, sugar, and let it rise maybe twice, bake it, and you have bread. Now, what kind of grain do you need to make bread? You can use rye or barley, oats, almonds, chestnuts. You know, my 21 grain loaf of bread that I was working on last time I talked to you about bread. 21 grains. I read the ingredients. There are 87 words to tell the ingredients of those 21 grains, which include spelt, flaxseed, I think it's kona, quinoa, amaranth, millet, soy flour, cornbread. My new loaf is just wheat. You can make bread out of wheat. And you look around for bread. There's bread all over the place made for you, and you can make your own. And nobody has ever said, there's no bread, Pastor. We can't have the sacrament of the altar this Sunday. There's no bread. Nor has anybody ever said, there's no wine. How are we going to have communion without wine? Look around you. It's all over the place. There are wineries in Iowa, one right up the road, made for you, and you can make your own. God did not attach his word and create a sacrament. He did not attach that word to things that are hard to find. He did not say to take a kangaroo and say, this is my body. He did not take goat milk, which is hard to find expensive, and say, this is my blood. One time at a Kansas district convention, I think a pastor wanted to have grape juice instead of wine. And he said, what happens if you can't find any wine? And Mike Barnes, he's out in Des Moines now. He was a missionary in Nigeria, I think, former missionary. He said, in Nigeria, we went to the liquor store and got wine. That's where we got it. And he did not tell us to baptize using olive oil, which is plentiful in the Middle East, but not so much in Iowa. He did not tell us to baptize using corn oil or tomato juice, both of which come from South America, which would not have been available. Water, water, water. Water. water's everywhere. Wherever there is life, there is water. And without water, there is no life, no grape, no wine, no sacrament at the altar, no grain, no bread. And nobody called me yesterday and said, Pastor, there's no water. How are we going to do a baptism without water? Where there is life, there is water, grapes, grain, and to these things God attaches his word, which makes them more than just wine, just bread, just water. I talk sometimes about, I call it layers of complication. You're going to take a trip. How about this side trip? How about if we take layers of complication, a meal, layers of complication, making it more complicated. A lot of religions are complicated. You have to jump through a lot of hoops before you get into heaven. People will add layers of complication to Christianity. You have to jump through a lot of hoops, and you may get into heaven. Maybe you won't. You won't know for sure until you die. Baptism. Nothing complicated going on here. Simple water. But not simple water only. Water connected to God's word and his command. In that water, we saw a new birth this morning. We saw the washing away of a sin. We saw a preview of the death and resurrection of this child. We see that in Jesus, that as Jesus died and rose again, so also Hayes will die and rise again. Simple stuff. And the sacrament of the altar. What we see is the body and blood of Jesus given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. And what you see, you want to know if God's in your life? Sometimes things that seems like God is not in your life. You can see God in your life in the sacrament of the altar. And a picture of the feast, the heavenly feast to come. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.